This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, as we continue to inch our way closer to the college football season. And boy, was it a busy news week in the college football world with all of the Brendan Sorsby situation, news, however you want to define it, coming out. I did think about jumping right on Monday and breaking it down. And then I wanted to settle a little bit. And I also kind of had this unique thought process regarding the Brendan Sorsby situation at Texas Tech. The name of this podcast is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And we talk about lines and futures and everything regarding gambling, which is ironic because of the Brendan Sorsby situation. He was a gambler, maybe was a listener to the podcast. Who knows? But the news coming out, did you need me to give you another opinion on the situation, which it would fall in line with pretty much everybody else out there, that I think it's ridiculous that Brendan Sorsby bet on his own team when he was at Indiana and is being allowed to play? Or did you need me to just look at it from a betting side and say, all right, what does this do for Texas Tech moving forward? What do we do with Texas Tech now that Brendan Sorsby has been deemed eligible with the temporary injunction earlier this week? And I think that was the way that I was going to look at it. Now, Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN, my good friend, he's going to join us in just a little bit. We just finished recording that. We went all over the map. We talked about the Texas Tech situation. We jumped into some of his favorite teams of the year. He's, you know, a well-sourced guy. He put out a couple of things on social media regarding the situation and what he had heard. I think for me, talking to you guys here on a betting podcast, do you need to hear another person say that this is insane? Or do you want to say, all right, what does this mean from a betting standpoint? When I look at the movement that we saw in the betting market with the news coming out, and look, I could also be sitting here saying, hey, look how lucky we were, right? Because we had a clip, and Wyatt, one of the producers of this podcast, put it out over the weekend of me talking about the bet that I made, and maybe you made as well, on Texas Tech to win the Big 12 at even money. And I could say, man, We knew this was coming. I didn't. I was stunned to find out the news that Sorsby was going to play. But here's the question. Is he going to play? I don't know. I still don't know if he'll play. My gut tells me he won't play this season for Texas Tech. We've got 3 months until he will be eligible to play. Remember, he is not going to play the first two games. Texas Tech, What a slap of the wrist. Abilene Christian, Oregon State, can't play in those games. Whew, how will they survive? But he's eligible, as of now, to play in game 3 against Houston. Also a question, and we were going to connect with Ryan Hyatt, my buddy down in Lubbock. We'll connect with him at another time. We had some connection issues. But something I asked Ryan, and I think he agreed with, is the situation with Will Hammond coming back from the ACL injury. And what did you hear after the news came out about Sorsby back in May? Will Hammond ahead of schedule. They're pushing him hard to get back as soon as possible to be the starting quarterback for Texas Tech. How is that going to play in that locker room? And that's something Ian and I talk about because he knows Joey McGuire quite well. They're the evil empire right now. They're the most hated team in college football. Lane Kiffin has to be thrilled by the situation. Steve Sarkisian, with all the comments he was making, has to be thrilled with everything. Hell, we were all on Team Texas Tech like, what, a week ago when Joey McGuire and Cody Campbell were coming out and calling out Texas, saying, hey, we'll cancel our week one game against Abilene Christian. You cancel your game against Texas State. We'll play it, baby. Like, we were all Team Texas Tech, and now they're the evil empire. Now they're the hated team. How does that play? I still gut inside of me think that he does not play for Texas Tech this year. That's just gut. I'm not saying take it to the window, but as we look at the odds right now, last week when we discussed it on the podcast, they were even money to win the Big 12. And I thought that was a really good bet because they still have the best roster in the conference with or without Sorsby. They don't play BYU, Utah, or Kansas State. Their toughest games, at least on paper, are all at home in conference. A Houston team that is pretty darn stingy. You look at an Arizona State team, a TCU team. All those teams come to Lubbock, Texas. Game of the Year lines came out. We're going to discuss those more next week. Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook will join us, as well as I think Brad Powers will jump on as well. So we'll get some thoughts on how those numbers were created. But three games were put out there from Texas Tech. They have since been removed because of the Sorsby situation. But they were double-digit favorites in those games. Houston, Arizona State, TCU. They're still the best team in this conference. But right now, if you didn't bet it, do you bet it at minus 150, which is at DraftKings, minus 130 at FanDuel? I don't. I think you wait, see how this thing plays out. Maybe the news comes out again that he will not play this year. But I know this has been a story that is completely conquered the sports landscape. And I think right now with this situation, from a betting standpoint, you wait. I think it's terrible for the sport. And I saw some beat reporter down in Lubbock that covers Texas Tech say, well, you're still going to watch. Yeah, we're still going to watch. But the precedent that it sets is certainly a road that we don't necessarily want to go down. And as Ian will talk about, it's black and white. This isn't a gray issue. It's black and white. He bet on his team while he was at Indiana. He should not be playing college football. But he is, as of now. So as a betting podcast, we have to decide, what do we do with that action? And at this point, at minus 150, minus 130 to win the Big 12, no thanks. I think we wait. Hell, even national championship odds. Wait and see how the dust settles over the next handful of months. Later on in the podcast, we'll close out with a best bet on a G5 team that I think will make a step in the right direction. The juice has moved. We are not getting the best number on this particular team, but I did make a win total bet on a G5 team. So we'll dive into that to close out the podcast. Just a reminder, we do have an email address, cfbpod@vsin.com. If you want to give us some thoughts on the upcoming season, some best bets that you've made, questions or guest recommendations. We've had a couple have come in thanks to the emailer just a week ago when we had Mike Calabrese on. Love talking to Mike from the Action Network. So keep those coming in. We'll do our best to get some of those folks on the podcast, cfbpod@vsin.com. Also continue, rate, review, subscribe every episode up on YouTube. Let's get those subscription numbers continuing to go up and up. And continue with the 5-star reviews. It's super helpful for us. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast. Quick break. When we come back, Ian Fitzsimmons, fun conversation with longtime ESPN college football personality Ian Fitzsimmons. We'll do that next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right. We keep it rolling. I'm fired up to talk to my next guy. Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN superstar. Every Saturday, catch him ESPN Radio, roaming the sidelines. Every once in a while, you'll even see him on television. I was sitting.
Stop right there, Tim. They don't want to put this on TV, right? Very often. It's not a ratings grabber, as my wife will tell you. How you been, boss man? Good to see you.
I'm great, man. Just to talk college football. You know, it's funny. Ian Fitzsimmons and I would say last year, we had probably at some point had crossed paths, but last year, Big Ten Media Day, we're talking, my boss, Steve Cohen, is introducing us, and you sit down next to me, we chop it up for like 20, 25 minutes, and then for some reason, I bamboozled you to come on my Saturday tailgate show every Saturday, and I appreciate it. You would go outside. You'd pay bellmen $5 to hold the camera for you. So a debt of gratitude.
Five.
And the way I'm repaying you is making you talk on my podcast for who knows how long.
Hold on. It wasn't five, brother. Trust me. It was a little bit more.
We were paying you much more, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I enjoyed the hell out of it, man, because, you know, I think one of my favorite moments probably was joining you before the CFP, college football playoff. It's Miami, mm-hmm. Texas A&M. And I'm on the field, and we're about, what, 45 minutes to kick, maybe an hour? So the coaches have kind of gone in, and it's the special teams guys that are still kind of left out there, and the wind is howling, and I mean howling, blowing, you know, 30, 35 miles an hour, and then nothing. And we did a live hit, if you remember, and I mean, we're live with you here on Beeson, and I showed you a clip of a ball going dead center, right, to the uprights, yep. And then it goes like 10 yards to the right. I went, hey, if that's an indicator, folks, I'm not telling you, I can't give a pick on this game.
Yeah.
But look at that. So if you're a quarterback in this wind or if you're a kicker, the under is looking pretty damn tasty right now. And guess what? The under was pretty damn tasty. So that's one of my finer moments of joining you every Saturday of the last year on Beeson. So there you go.
Yeah, it was a blast, man. You would be, I think you were, it was the Oregon-Iowa game. That was a slop
raining
fest.
Like we, a got mother.
We got you in the rain. So, yeah, it was helpful. It was
that's
definitely helpful.
Right there, Tim. I'm out there soaked, Under Armour, fucking rain line, rain gear, wind howling, and I'm talking to you for 10 minutes. I'm like, why am I not inside? What am I doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, that is.
That's a friendship. There you go.
That is friendship. There's no doubt about it. So I just wanted this to be kind of a free-flowing thing. But look, the big story, obviously, in the sport that you cover, the sport that we talk about, the sport that we love. And look, we gamble on, and I talked about it in the open, and I want to talk about it here with you, is the Brendan Sorsby situation. And, you know, it's a unique deal,
stop,
right?
Stop right there. Hold on. We don't gamble. Gambling is when you can't afford to pay the wager. Wagering is when you can't afford to pay the wager, right? So there's a massive difference, in my opinion, as an old bookie. And yes, folks, I was a bookie in college. It's gambling is when you can't pay the bet. Wagering is when you can. You and I, we wager. So there you go. It's a difference.
I like the distinction. Yeah. So we'll call this the college football wagering podcast.
There
moving
we go.
Forward. We need to make that distinction. But, you know, I know you've got a lot of connections in the college football world doing what you do over the years. And, you know, you put out a couple of tweets. I know you talked to a couple folks on your radio show on ESPN Radio. I do want this more to be kind of a what is to come, what they are going to be. But just from the folks that you talk to, we're recording this on June 10th, Ian. Do you believe that Brendan Sorsby plays football this fall?
No, I still don't. You know, obviously the NCAA is appealing, and it's black and white. It's like you and I talked the other night on my show here on ESPN Radio. For people who may have missed it, you know, I used to cover the Texas Rangers. You know, being based in Dallas, Texas, and back then with ESPN Dallas. And when you go to spring training, it's everywhere in the clubhouse. Gamble, you're gone. You go to the Rangers clubhouse or the St. Louis Cardinals, the Cubbies, right? Gamble, you're gone. In the NCAA rule book, it is black and white. Gamble on the sport you play and you're gone. Well, Brendan Sorsby wagered on or gambled. there is a difference, right? But as we just talked about, but yeah, many a time on the sport he plays, not only on the sport he plays, but also on the team that he played for. And Pete Rose, you know, all evidence is that he always bet on the Reds to win. All evidence is that Brendan Sorsby bet on the Hoosiers to win when he was a freshman. I don't care. Doesn't matter. You know, the integrity of the game matters. And Texas Tech has gone from, and full disclaimer, Joey McGuire, I love, man. I love him to death. He's a great friend. Matt Dowdy, their SID, is a great friend. Kirby Hocutt, their AD, is a great friend. They have gone from this lovable team on the rise to getting the college football playoff last year, getting waxed by Oregon, but still making it, you know, as not one of the preeminent marquee brands, even though Mike Leach almost had them there, right? I mean, that close. Now they're despised. And now you have Big 12 ADs, you know, having conference calls going, are we dropping Texas Tech from our schedule? The president of Georgia has already said, President Moorhead, not playing them. We will not schedule them in women's tennis to football. Nebraska said the same thing. Why? Because of this ruling. And that's the outcry. Now, it goes back to what Charlie Baker told us in our college football seminar at ESPN 2 years ago. He told McAfee this, a few months ago. We don't have any power. We have our rules, Tim, but the rules don't matter, because you can go to a local court, and even though it was a University of Houston alum who was a judge, but where is he a judge? In Lubbock County. Where's Texas Tech? Lubbock County, Texas. Where does he have to get reelected? In Lubbock County, Texas. My dad was an appellate court judge, man. Votes matter. So it goes to, you know, what's best for the game. And this is one where I never dreamed that we would be talking about this, Tim, where we're allowing a star quarterback who would be a first-round pick, by all accounts, in the supplemental draft. I'm not talking about next year, because as you and I have talked about many a time, you know, you really don't know what's going to happen when it comes to the most important position in football. Look at Lenore Sellers, Kate Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeyer. We can go on down the list, right? Dante Moore, you know, chose to go back to school. Lenore Sellers chose to go back to school. But you're talking about quarterback, you just don't know. So when it comes to potential, Sorsby has so much potential. If you don't think someone's going to put a first-round pick bid in on Sorsby in the supplemental draft, if you don't think that was going to happen, you're nuts, because it would. But you're paying $4 or $5 million now, man, when it comes to college ball. And, you know, right now he's cleared to play, but when it comes, you know, first week in September, I don't know if you agree or disagree, Tim, but I just don't think he's going to be playing college ball. I think the injunction and the outcry for the first time in this case has actually got America siding with the NCAA. And I never damn dreamed that would happen. But this case has got that happening.
I mean, it's, yeah, and we're starting with...
You know I'm right. I mean,
I know. I mean, look, they are
there, by the way. I apologize.
It's a podcast. We're allowed to do whatever we want. Ian, this isn't radio. No hard outs. We're good. We're free flowing here. You know, here's my curiosity about this whole situation. And look, I opened up my podcast last week saying, and I'd said it on the Saturday show that you joined this past Saturday. I bet Texas Tech to win the Big 12. I fully anticipated Sorsby not to play. I still think they're the best team in that conference. They don't play BYU. They don't play Utah. They don't play Kansas State. They're going to be a double-digit favorite in every single game.
And Will Hammond will be back at some point.
Yeah. You know, and Will Hammond, I think, is a good quarterback. So, you know, you mentioned you've got a relationship with Joey McGuire. So try to put yourself in his shoes, because what we know about Joey McGuire from afar, you know him better than I do, is that he's a relationship guy, right? Love him. He's a Texas guy through and through. And now when this situation comes about in May, it's all right. We're going to, you know, to quote Dick Vermeil, right? We're going to rally behind Kurt Warner. We're going to play good football. We're going to rally behind Will Hammond, and we're going to play good football. Well, now Sorsby's back, and you're trying to rush this young man through his rehab process through the ACL. How does this go over in that locker room? Like, I'm just so curious, you know, with what's going to unfold there in Lubbock inside the locker room when Brendan Sorsby returns.
Tim, I'm not there. Will I go visit? Absolutely. But knowing Joey, meaning Coach McGuire, as well as I do, he's all about the person, you know. And Sorsby, by the way, was courted by everyone. I mean, LSU wanted him. I mean, go on down the list of schools that were willing to pay this guy $4 or $5 million to come play quarterback for 1 year. Well, Cody Campbell, billionaire oil money, was the winning bid. And Joey Mack is all about, putting the best, team on the field. But he's also a people person. I love Joey McGuire. He's all about the player. And even more so the person than the player. He's got to be torn. I can't imagine how hard this is for not just Coach McGuire, but, Kirby Hocutt, who's also a great guy. I got to know him when he was the chairman for the College Football Playoff Committee, when I was serving on the mock committee, a couple of times. Those are good people. But how much did they know about Sorsby coming over and his wagering at Indiana? Because remember, he came from Cincinnati. I didn't hear about it. You and I are pretty damn plugged in when it comes to wagering, right? Had you heard about Sorsby? I hadn't. You hadn't.
Nope.
Right? And if a guy like you, based in Vegas, where the watchdog, and for anybody, by the way, who's going, oh, this is what's the problem with gambling and wagering being legalized, across the country. Shut the hell up. Stop. The reason that this was actually discovered is because wagering is legalized. And it's more commonplace. And so it's not this dark cloud anymore. That's the reason that he was popped. That's the reason that a JV Beef brother, right, for the Toronto Raptors is no longer allowed to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
But this whole ruling, though, going back to Coach McGuire, there's no way he knew about it. I don't think. If we didn't know about it, and Cincinnati didn't know about it, I was Tech supposed to know. So I feel for him. I really do, man. It's a tough spot. But again, they have a hell of a team. And even if he doesn't play, to your point, man, Will Hammond's a hell of a player. He's a great quarterback.
I agree. Yeah. And that's, right now, the odds have moved from even money to -150 to win the Big 12. I don't know. I think you wait. Right now, if you haven't made that bet.
Whoa, yet. It went from even to -150?
Yeah.
After this ruling?
Yeah, huh?
Damn.
I'm not going to sit here.
Saying that he's playing.
Yeah. I mean, they're covering themselves, right? I mean, right now the rule is that he's going to play, and we'll see. So,
what do you think?
I don't think he plays. That's my gut.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I don't think he plays.
I mean,
I don't want
to down to Brett Yormark, Big 12 commissioner going, who they had this, a meeting between the ADs and Commissioner Yormark. You've seen Jim Phillips come out, the ACC commissioner. By the time this airs, probably Greg Sankey has probably come out, the SEC. I don't think there's any way in hell that Sorsby, with the outcry, that he plays it down this year for Texas Tech.
And that's why I think if you are looking to bet on Texas Tech, now's not the time, right? This is, this is why you wait and see how this all plays out. We've got 3 months before the season starts.
It's like waiting on the Rams. You and I talked about this, right? Where Myles Garrett comes over and the Rams went from, what was it, plus like 1,200 to now plus 550, whatever it is right now. Wait and see what happens in the first 3 weeks. The Rams might go 2-1, and that number will go back up to like plus 900. You wait on Texas Tech right now. I think Will Hammond's a hell of a player. And they have a remarkable roster. It ain't just about Sorsby. So that number will probably go back up.
Look, it's the best roster in that conference, and I thought it was an overreaction to the Sorsby news, him being out, that the odds were even money. I didn't think it should have been even money. So I want to take a step back here and talk about this upcoming season, because it's not just Texas Tech. It's a lot of really good football teams. And, for those who don't know you all that well, you're every Saturday people. ESPN radio, you're on the sidelines. How many years have you been doing college football now with ESPN?
Oh, Lord. Including local or just national? You go back local, it's now, good God, 25 years? Going back to Alabama, Ohio State, Utah, nationally 16, 17 years, NFL and college. So, yeah, I've done every college football playoff national title game except for the first one. So, yeah, it's been a minute.
So let's start with the team that you saw most recently having confetti fall down on their heads, and that would be the Indiana Hoosiers. You know, it's funny. I like to be self-deprecating when I'm wrong, and boy, I didn't think there would be a drop-off from year one to year two, but I did not see 16-0 and a parade and all of this. And, you know, I did a top 12 quarterbacks last year and didn't have Fernando Mendoza on it. And
dude,
I think he was.
No one knew who he was.
I mean, I knew who he was.
He was a Cal the year before, right?
We are degenerate gamblers on this podcast. So, like, we knew Fernando Mendoza.
Wagerers.
You know, it's funny. Ian, I was thinking back. I actually had the Independence Bowl 2 years ago. It was Fernando Mendoza and Cal versus Texas Tech. And who knew? Those were superstars heading in that direction in Shreveport, Louisiana, when I was freezing my ass off on a Tuesday night in December or whatever it was. But what do you expect this year from Indiana? At this point, you're no longer ever going to be able to get Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers on sale.
But Josh Huber coming in from TCU, you know, a remarkable get by them. I know Sonny Dykes, head coach TCU, was livid that they weren't able to keep Hoover. But he can sling it. As long as Kurt Cignetti is there, they're a college football playoff team. To repeat, it's so damn difficult, as you know. Whether it's the NFL or college, it's so hard to repeat. Because... even though, you know, you have your DC back, your OC's back, you know, that the continuity on that staff is remarkable. And Cignetti is just a mad scientist, man. I mean, his attention to detail, it's not about winning the next game. It's about winning the next rep. It's about winning the next lift. It's about winning the next snap. It's about being on time to the next meeting. He is... I think he's gotten tired of the whole Saban thing, right? Where, you know, how much did you learn from Nick Saban? And the story, I think I've told you this before, where, you know, when Kent State, you know, Saban's alma mater, you know, they had an opening, worst job in football. And Nick Saban went to his staff back in 2015, 2016, and said, all right, look, hey, the president of Kent State just called me. He wants a job. One hand went up. Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll take it. And Saban was like, are you sure? Like, you understand? He's like, yeah, I'm in my 40s, man. I want to be a head coach. I'll take it. He runs to a challenge. He doesn't run away from it. So there's no doubt in my mind that dude right now is finding a way and delivering a message to the new guys that have come in through the portal, buying into his system. Including Josh Huber, and figure out a way to motivate them as to why everyone is saying they can't do it, and he'll be pitching why they can do it, because that's his attitude. But it's so hard, man, to repeat, especially in a college football playoff system. So I think Oregon is probably one of my front runners. Lanning's going to break through, bro. You and I have talked about this a lot. At some point, it's going to happen. He's going to bust through. And I you probably have the odds in front of you. I don't know what Oregon is right now. I'm going to guess probably around plus 700-800, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where $100 gets you $700-800. Oregon would be a good future play. Their D-line. Look at the guys who came back, man. I mean, Uyunglele would have been at worst a late second, early third round pick at D-end. Comes back. Dante Moore would have been the number two overall pick. Comes back. Why? I have more to learn. That's what he told me. I got to get better. I'm not ready yet. Holy hell, dude. Get ready. If you're asking for a future wager, right? Oregon would probably be my number one. I know that wasn't your question. Well, I segued out that way anyway.
No. And I was going to get into Oregon because I know you know that program well. And I mean, they're right there. To your point, 8-1 to win the title. It's kind close. Yeah, you're right on it. It's Ohio State, Notre Dame, Indiana, Texas, Oregon, Georgia, kind of all in that top tier, if you will, from the futures market. And to your point about the defensive line, look, I'm not knocking, you know, the backups had to go and get paid big money. Like, you know, the hat I'm wearing right here, Notre Dame spent a good chunk of money on Teon Gray, who left Oregon, and he's going to be a starter for a national championship level team in Notre Dame. And to your point about the depth of this Oregon team. So, you know, Oregon last year, meets their maker in the postseason to Indiana. And just right out of the jump, it was just a hornet's nest. How do they get that taste out of their mouth? And you mentioned the continuity, Ian, with the offensive and defense coordinator in Indiana staying. Will Stein's at Kentucky, Tosh Lupoy's at Cal. So how big are those losses for the Oregon Ducks? Because I do agree, you're kind of nitpicking right now. When you're this good, but you're trying to nitpick.
Lanning promotes from within. Mm-hmm. You know, he promoted both from within. He was with Tosh Lupoy at Alabama Lanning was a grad assistant, right? And then it kind of came up through the ranks together. And then, you know, they were at Georgia, and Lupoy went to the NFL. Who was one of Lanning's first hires? Tosh Lupoy, right? And promoted from within. Will Stein promoted from within. And then they leave. What's he do? Elevate two of his guys. You know, tight ends coach and then his linebackers coach. So I'm not worried about that part because Lanning – he is Kirby Smart. He is Nick Saban, all wrapped into one, but in his own way, because he's fun to be around, bro. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go out there, but man, you're around that program. He's been to the Dexter Lake Club. That's all I got to say, right? I mean, how many coaches will admit, right? Bryce Betcher, you know, fourth round pick by the Colts, former captain at Oregon. Yeah, no, I was stunned when I asked him the question about a week ago on my show on ESPN Radio. I was expecting to be a hard no. Have you been to the Dexter Lake Club? And then, folks, have you ever seen the movie Animal House? You understand what I'm talking about, because it was filmed there in Eugene, Oregon. And yeah, the Dexter Lake Club is where Otis Day and the Knights, right, were performing. And it is a legitimate place. It actually exists. And when you have captains at Oregon going to the Dexter Lake Club, right, just to have a pizza and say they were there and have a cold beer and then go to the actual Dexter Lake, maybe get some sun and have a good time. And, oh, wait, it's hot girls out here in bikinis. Yeah, hey, it's awesome. That's the Dexter Lake, right? And that's Oregon, and it's just different, dude. I mean, they are laid back, but when they got to whip your ass, they don't want to beat you. They want to embarrass you. Well, look at his pregame speeches. Look at his the week long. They are coming up right now, Tim. He told me this when I was there last summer. The Oregon Ducks, their brain trust, are coming up right now with their mottos for every week before going to play whomever on the road. Like, you remember when they played Michigan a couple years ago and they just beat the hell out of them?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, are you not entertained? It was from the movie Gladiator, and they're going to the big house. So it was a Coliseum, right? And Lanning was telling his squad, in the fourth quarter, I want you to look up, and I want you screaming, are you not entertained? Because they're going to be leaving. And we are the ones that are entertained. We are the ones doing the entertainment, right? I'm like, where does that stuff come from? Are you kidding me? They're doing that. He told me they come up with that crap like now, in June, July, leading into the fall. So it's a little things like that lead me to take a flyer on the Ducks, man. +800, yeah, they're worth a wager.
Well, November 7th, is going to be an incredible day of college football. You've got LSU taking on Alabama, Notre Dame, Miami, and you've got Oregon and Ohio State in the big in the shoe.
God.
I mean, it's the best.
We're in June, dude. You get me all cranked up about freaking November.
November 7th. I'll be in South Bend. I'm going to be interviewing you from hopefully a bar somewhere in South Bend. I've already got my tickets locked in for that game.
I can tell you right now, my bosses will have me Alabama at LSU, guaranteed. I already had Clemson LSU. That's already done.
I mean,
Oklahoma at Michigan is done. But I can tell you, I mean, Alabama LSU, that's going to – I will be at Paul Raines or Ruffino's, right? Just talking to you, having a po' boy. Come on.
Yeah.
Getting filthy fat.
It's going to be, and I mean, I don't know if they've announced it. We can announce it right now. That'll be big noon kickoff. I mean, the Bear, our buddy, will be in Columbus for Ohio State, Oregon. And right now, I mean, the early line has Oregon as a 6-point dog. And I think that just tells you what is expected of Ohio State this year. Julian Sain is back. Jeremiah Smith is pound for pound. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Pound for pound, best player in the sport.
Arthur Smith coming in as a new OC. Patricia, still there.
Yeah, well, let's get into Arthur Smith, because I asked Bobby Carpenter about Arthur Smith. He seemed excited about it. You like Arthur Smith? You like this
hell
hire?
Yeah. Come on, man. One, he develops talent. Even at the NFL level, go back to when he was the OC for the Tennessee Titans. Who developed A.J. Brown? It's Arthur Smith. You know, and obviously now A.J. with the Patriots and a Super Bowl champion. But the dude just knows ball, a remarkable, remarkable person. But when it comes to X's and O's, man, he will find what – he doesn't care if he has to throw it 50 times to win a game or run it 8 times to win a game. Doesn't matter. Whatever you don't do well, that's what he's going to come after, if that makes sense. It reminds me of I'm calling my brother was coaching for the Detroit Lions, now obviously with the Seahawks. And by the way, yes, a Super Bowl champion for the Seahawks. But when my brother was coaching for the Lions, he was there for 6 years, and I did probably 6 or 7 of his games, you know, Another side note, players are just so superstitious. Like Matthew Stafford, when he saw me at a game, like, all right, we're good. Because I was 5-1, right, when I'm calling. And he was always my post-game interview, and he would always take a shot at my brother, right? I mean, you know, the hardest thing to overcome to win a game is having a Fitzsimmons on our damn staff. I mean, Stafford was just, he's the best. But they are so maniacal, right? I mean, they're so crazy as to, you know, the little things they pick up on. But the story is, and this is where Arthur Smith comes in, the week before the Lions are playing the Patriots, and the Patriots, I think Brady was like 38 of 50 for 490-something yards, right? 4 touchdowns, no picks. When they beat the Lions, I think he may have thrown it 14 times, maybe 15 times, and they just ran it right down their throat. Meaning Josh McDaniels, the OC then, was just – whatever you don't do well, we don't care if we throw it 50 times or run it 50 times. Whatever you don't do well defensively, that's what we're coming after. That's Arthur Smith. He doesn't give a damn, and he tells his players, I don't care, Jeremiah Smith, that you're the number one projected overall pick 2 years ago, last year, and again this year, right? I mean, you and I talked about it. Every GM in the NFL I talked to was like, when Jeremiah Smith was a freshman, he'd been number one overall pick. Number one. I mean, 18 years old. Suit him up. Arthur Smith doesn't give a damn. If they don't defend the run well, guess what, Jeremiah? You're blocking your ass off, right? We're going to run it down their throat. If they can't defend it, they have crappy DBs and no pass rush, guess what? We're going to throw it 50 times. Jeremiah, you're going to go get 320 today and 3 tuds. That's Arthur Smith. And then on the other side, Matt Patricia. Ask Caleb Downs about Patricia. Ask Sonny Styles. Sonny Styles told us at the draft, you and I talked about this, when he sat down with us on our set in Pittsburgh after he got drafted, number one credit, Matt Patricia. He said, eat the biscuit, dude. You know, let's put 20 pounds on you. And you're going to walk down from safety. You're going to be a roaming linebacker. And look at that dude now. He's a bad A. So Ohio State is going to be a problem. Ain't no doubt. There ain't no doubt about it.
All right, there's so many. There's about a billion teams in the Big Ten. You'll be at their media days before we know
it. Are you coming?
But, I mean, you paying? I'll come on your dime.
Come on, Beeson. What the hell, man? Let's go, dude.
We got lucky last year.
They came. We connected last year, right?
We got pampered last year. James Franklin wasn't happy about it, but I was happy that it came to Vegas. All right.
It hurt looking me. At the big, I'll tell you that. It took years off my life. You saw looking me on that third day, dog. I mean, it was like, can we go home, please? Please.
Gotta pace yourself in our city, man. You gotta come. You gotta come to the burbs. Get a good night rest. You know, you got a job to do. That's true. I would now. When you look at the rest of this conference, give me a team or two that you're curious. You know, your antenna's up, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing.
USC.
Yeah. All right. Go in. Is it good? Is it bad? Where are you at on USC?
It's just I'll give you two SC first because Lincoln Riley I love him to death. It's taken him longer than I thought it would to build the kind of team that he wants, right? Especially defensively, you know. I mean, he's been knocked to hell, and he's the first one to admit it, right? He should be. You know, his teams defensively have not been able to deliver. I think they're going to be better. And I'll give you another one. Michigan. Kyle Whittingham, dude. His teams, they will fight you on the freaking frozen ice in hell. I mean, they don't care. You want to play them on asphalt but no pads? Let's go. That's wit. Michigan will be a very, very physical football team. And that's one of those teams. What's their win total? I don't even know. If it's around 8.5.
I think it's 8.5.
Take the over. Now, that swing game I'm going to have in week 2 against Oklahoma because Boomer Sooner is going to be really good. But Kyle Whittingham, that dude, he's just different. I mean, look how many youths are in the damn NFL right now that played for him? From Cole Bishop on down. I mean, my gosh, on the defensive side and offensive linemen for that matter. I mean, hell, I just had two freaking offensive linemen go in the first two rounds in the last draft. So I don't think he ever wanted to leave, but I think he did it for Morgan Scally, who he loves to death. It's like a son. And Scally was a coach in waiting. So I would say watch out for Michigan because knowing Witt as well as I do, that's going to be a damn physical football team. Those are my two.
You know, I did Utah's bowl game this past year in Vegas, and I have, as many of our listeners know, a massive man crush on Devin Dampier, and that was the best game he's probably played as a Ute, and I thought he would go to Michigan. Now, maybe it's contractual thing with Utah or Bryce Underwood, whatever
kind of
it may
like
be.
What we have with, well, not just Underwood, but also to your point, contractual. It's a quarterback of Washington that wanted to leave, right?
Ron Williams.
And yeah,
yep.
So there you go.
So I guess my question would be, we always talk about, you know, there's always these quarterbacks, Ian, that get a lot of hype, you know, going into a season and whether it's warranted or not. And then we always, it feels like, quickly sell on guys. With the offensive coordinator Beck, Jason Beck, coming over to Michigan, how does Bryce Underwood take the next step? I felt like, you know, no knock to Sharon Moore, but, you know, just it didn't feel like he was getting the right coaching there. I think Jason Beck is a hell of a coach, man. And
he's a great quarterback coach and great developer. Ironically, yeah. BYU, you know, where Witt played, people don't understand, remember that. His dad played at BYU. Kyle Whittingham played at BYU. You know, Beck was a quarterback at BYU. So all that good stuff, right? And it's coming from a Utah coach, you know, who wasn't going to go to the other side. Beck is a remarkable, and I mean remarkable, quarterback coach. And Bryce Underwood, I had him last year. Good gosh, dude. Week three, I think. And watching Underwood, who is a massive human being. You know what he did before the game when he's warming up? There was this group of kids in the end zone. They're like, Bryce, can we get an autograph? Can we get an autograph? They're like, I'll come to you after the game. And I'm standing right there. I'm like, he ain't coming to these kids after the game. There ain't no way. Right? I mean, it's easy. Yeah, you know, you say it, you know, and you get caught up in the moment. Sure. And the kid's probably going to forget it. Well, those three kids were standing in the end zone after the game. He was my post-game interview. Do you know what he told me before we started the interview? Hold on. I promise these kids I would sign their footballs. And he ran over to the back of the end zone and actually delivered on what he said pregame. Now, that goes to the character of the person. You give me high character in a person who has immense talent as a player, I'll take that guy every day of the week. Who has impeccable talent as a player, but is not that good of a person, hell with that guy. I don't want him. Give me a great person who's a good player, I'll take him any day of the week. A guy like Kyle Whittingham, with Beck as his OC, the person's going to be as good as a player. That little thing impressed the hell out of me with Bryce Underwood. And by the way, when I say in person, Tim, I'm leaning into you right now. When I say that some bitch is a big dude, as big as he is on TV, that dude is a big some bitch playing quarterback at Michigan.
Well, going back to
that's
the
southern,
last
by
game,
by the way, for all you folks out there, yeah, that little term. There you go.
The last college football game you broadcasted, Indiana, Miami, a lot of changeover for Miami. And, you know, speaking of buying low, I remember doing these pods last summer and, man, not a lot of positive things were said about Carson Beck. And I think he impressed most of us the way that he played. And now let me ask you this, Ian, because I think did you have the ACC championship or the SEC championship? I think you had the ACC, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not a Carson Beck guy. He'll be the first player or quarterback of this draft to start for their team only because where he went to Arizona. Sure. But I am not. I don't think he's going to be a very good pro quarterback. That's just my opinion.
Well, I'm glad you voiced that opinion, because what I was going to get to is they get to the national championship. Yes, they also had Mezidor and Bain, who are mutants coming off their edges defensively. But how much, in your opinion, you called the ACC championship game, you called the national championship game, how much did Miami improve at the quarterback position?
I wouldn't even go quarterback, man. I started in the trenches, you know, and that's something that their head coach, who obviously was an offensive lineman there, national title winner, going back to Miami, that's where he wanted to rebuild Miami again, try to get the U back. It wasn't even, to me, the quarterback position. It was more O-line, D-line. You just referenced two of them. Hell, mm-hmm. Man, they had, what, three offensive linemen drafted, you know, and another one is in an NFL camp right now in Brockemeyer. So, I mean, they are immensely talented. But when it came to guts out, and that's what wins in college ball. Now you go and pay Darian Mensah, who's now, dude, is there another mercenary out there that is just getting paid than Darian Mensah, from Tulane to Duke, from Duke to Miami? Are you kidding? That's what kind of drives me nuts about this world we're living in, because look, Miami's going to be good. Let's just, to answer your question, yeah, hell yeah, they're going to be good. But what drives me nuts about the world we're living in and the game that we love so much is, how do we identify a guy like Mensah?
Yeah.
Is he a Duke Blue Devil? Is he Tulane? Is he Miami? I mean, where's the allegiance, right? I mean, how are we viewing some of these guys that are just going to the highest bidder, and how they go back and look at, like, I was at Cowboys, OTAs yesterday. You know, I'm sitting down with Tyler Booker, you know, Cowboys first round pick out of Alabama last year, who's now more of a leader for the Cowboys. And I'm asking him that very question. It's like, man, I'm roll tied through and through. I don't know how these dudes or their allegiance is, but I know that, and this is his words, for me, I will always have a passion, an obsession for Alabama, whether it's football, women's softball, baseball, I don't care. I'm roll tied. What is Darian Mensah right now, Tim?
He's looking at his bank account.
Well, so is T-Book, right? But, I mean, that's what probably my biggest issue right now with college athletics is, where's that allegiance? How do we identify, you know, that particular player? Like, Jalen Hurts goes by Bama and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. Pick one.
Yeah, it's it's certainly.
Sorry, you got me on a rant there.
Yeah, no, it's a unique world we live in. But, you know, you look at the ACC, I know where you work, ESPN obviously has a tie-in with the ACC, and you end up doing a bunch of ACC games. I mean, you know, where are we at in this conference right now? Because, Ian, you know, I like to, you know, SMU, you know, Kevin Jennings is back. There's excitement.
Watch
there.
Watch out for my boy, Rhett Lashley. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, you know, I'll say this about Rhett Lashley, and he's not doing it for free. I'm sure the Pony faithful are ponying up to keep him there, but I thought he was as good as gone to go back to his alma mater, and he sticks around at SMU. So, you know, when you look at this conference this year,
great point.
Miami's the favorite, rightfully so, but who do you think is knocking on the door? Is it SMU?
You hit it right there.
Yeah.
Dude, they're against Cal. They don't wet the bet against Cal last year, right? In week 13, they're in the CFP back to back years. They're a 58 yard field goal away in the ACC title game 2 years ago from winning the ACC. And they still were a college football playoff team, right? So I love Rhett Lashley, man. He's just that dude's a boy dog warrior, and he loves his players. And he's smart, meaning, I told Coach Morris this years ago, who left for Arkansas. Why? Why leave? You don't have to completely redo an entire roster. You're running gun, you know, catch and throw. The previous regime was Brett Bielema. That's ground and pound. You don't have 3 years anymore to redo an entire roster and redo a team. And he's the one that told me, give me $50 and a full tank of gas, and I'll recruit a college football playoff contender right here at SMU. Meaning I'll just drive around North Texas and go and recruit, you know, a national title contender. You know what Rhett Lashley's doing? Putting a full tank of gas, right? And recruiting a national title contender. And he's got the full backing of billionaire oil tycoons. That basically said, all right, ACC, how much do you need? $110 million? Yeah, we got that. Here's a check. We don't need your TV rights for however many years it is. We're good. Rhett Lashley knows that he actually is getting people to come off the boulevard, which you've been to, Tim, and that's a great tailgating scene. Folks, the boulevard at SMU is amazing. I mean, the Grove at Ole Miss is a national title. The Boulevard at SMU, I'm going to put them in the top 10. But they would never go into the stadium. They just went to tailgate, and then you only had like 8,000 people in the stadium. You had another 25 outside, 30,000 on the Boulevard. You know what Rhett Lashley's done? They're coming into the stadium. They're actually going in. It's a fun place to be. And when you are a fun thing in Dallas, Texas, the Tony Romos, right? I mean, the Jason Wittens, well, he's Oklahoma now, coach and tight ends. But, you know, it's a who's who that shows up. Dirk Nowitzki going to SMU games, right? That's what Rhett Lashley's done. He's made it cool.
And we'll find out pretty quickly who SMU is. Week one, Monday night, they go to Tallahassee.
And he kept Jennings, to your point.
Yeah, they kept Jennings. And week three, they go and take on the underdog king that is Jeff Brohm in Louisville. So we'll know quickly about SMU for sure, Ian. As we take a step back in the ACC, because it's a unique conference with Miami on top, SMU kind of lurking below. Who's the team that you mentioned? You know, you were curious about Michigan and USC. Who's the curiosity for you, good or bad, in the ACC?
Clemson.
And you got them week one.
Yeah, at LSU, at night.
Yep.
I mean, is it not to you? I mean, I'll throw it back at you. I am beyond fascinated to see what, you know, after, you know, Garrett Riley is now the quarterback coach of Missouri, Kurt, former OC. I don't think he used Kate Klubnik the right way last year. And I like Garrett a lot. I know the family very well, but I'm curious to see with Dabo going with a familiar face, right, as his new OC to replace Garrett Riley, how is that going to translate? What's this offense going to look like? Because we know the talent is there. Look at how many guys he had drafted last year. My gosh, especially on the O-line and D-line alone. But they didn't live up to it. I'm curious to see if they get that fire back and that want to whip your ass mentality that Dabo had as a walk-on in Alabama, and if that is back, and we'll find out week one at LSU.
Well, we need more call-ins to radio shows to get him fired up, you know.
What was that guy's name?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Something from Spartanburg, wasn't it?
Elliot?
Tyler. Tyler from Spartanburg.
Good pull.
Totally.
That's a
totally,
great pull.
Totally wasn't one of his, like, GAs or quality control guys calling in. But it worked. It worked. They beat Notre Dame. I remember it well. They beat Notre Dame that weekend. So
you and I probably had Notre Dame that weekend.
I mean, they were a short dog. Clemson, a dog at home. Notre Dame wore those gross white uniforms. I digress.
Hey, I gotta give you a lot of credit, by the way. Carolina Hurricanes. Hey, everyone in Vegas that knows Tim Murray, he had Carolina. He was on my show. Game three. Yeah. Game four, excuse me. Yeah, had it. Done.
Yeah.
You called it.
I also had the first period under, and that was
house.
Dead.
In
like... All right, Ian, let's wrap on the SEC. We'll do it quick because I've kept you way too long.
You're good, dude.
You love Oregon. You like them at 8-1. Michigan is certainly a team that interests you from a win total standpoint. Let's go the two top dogs preseason in the SEC, Georgia, Texas. Are they going to live up to the expectations? Either one of them going to be playing here in Vegas in late January when I'll be your intern on the sidelines.
Yeah. Are you joining me? Are you?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I got you. Yeah.
I'll be your lackey. I'll fetch you water. I'll do whatever you got to do.
In other words, you know what he's going to do?
Yeah, runner,
right? I'm going to run to the bar. I'll be right back. then I'll go check on anything that you need. That'd be my runner, Tim Murray. I know. I appreciate you. being a dark horse in the S, I like Bama a lot. But you know me, I'm a Kalen DeBoer guy. I think that sitting down with Tyler Booker yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, he's one of those guys that goes back to campus a lot, and mm-hmm. he's a big DeBoer guy. And watch out. I mean, Bama has got a ton this year, even replacing Ty Simpson, you know, and going down the list. They're going to be really good. But Texas, they're worthy of the price. I mean, Kyle Flood is one of the best offensive line coaches in all of football, college or pro. Why do you think they pay him close to $2 million a year, right? I mean, he's going to have 3-4 draft picks off that O-line. Arch Manning, I had him against Vanderbilt last year, Tim. I think you and we talked about I was on with you before that game, right? With Bevo almost stabbing me in the buttocks. laugh it up, Chuckles. But anyway.
It was nice and circa. I was just sitting in my comfy chair. You were getting attacked by a giant Animal.
Arch Manning got so much better from week one against Ohio State to that game I had him against Vandy. And that was a damn good Vandy team. I'm telling you, Texas is not just a national title contender. They should be one of the favorites. They're loaded.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, loaded. And when you get arguably the best slot receiver coming over from Auburn to join Arch, honey, hush, watch out. So I don't know what Alabama's odds are right now. I don't have them in front of me, but they're worth a flyer as far as a CFP semifinal. But as far as a national title contender, yeah, Texas is legit. They're worth every penny.
Well, it's funny. You know, Phil Steele puts out his magazine. You know, we always read it.
College football Bible.
We consume it all, right? And the digital copy's out, and I got it. And his number one surprise team's going to make you happy. It's Alabama. You know,
I haven't gotten it yet. How did you get yours already? Phil, what the bleep?
Well, I paid the extra bucks. I paid the extra bucks to get the VIP package.
I paid my $57. I'm not one of those media guys that wants the freebie, right? Which drives me nuts. All you media folk out there who want the Phil Steele College Football Bible for free, shut the hell up. The guy's got to make a living, man. Just pay for the damn thing. Like Tim and I do. Thank you.
Well, here's the secret. You got to pay like the $95 and you get the digital copy about a week before. So we feel like,
yeah, yes.
Yeah. I paid the extra bucks for Phil's thing there. All right. Two more before we let you go. One to tell you about Alabama to make the semifinals plus +550 at a national sports book. And you, as you mentioned, you'll be calling LSU Clemson week one in down in Death Valley. What a year it's going to be. September 19th, Ole Miss hosting LSU. That, to me, is going to be the best atmosphere of all of college football. You going to be there?
I hope. Please. That is the number
one. It's already
one,
an ESPN primetime game. I'm going to go ahead and say you're going.
Turning the hat around, look, hey, coach, that is the game of the year. The game. Lane Kiffin going back to face Portal Pete from Hammond, Louisiana, right? I mean, Pete Golding. Come on, dude. And everything that's happened, are you kidding me? The library won't be able to hold all the people that are coming in. Bouray is already taking reservations, and they're probably booked. I mean, let's go. Put me on the square. Put me in the library. I'll ride the same damn freaking mechanical bull that Jackson Dart was on, but crank it up a couple degrees just to get me there. Let's go. That is the game of the year. Is it not, Tim? That is the game of the year.
I think it is. I look, as much as I would love to say it's Notre Dame, Miami, or Ohio State, Indiana, it's that game. No. That's college football, right? That's the world we live in right now. Prime time.
If I could assign ABC. That game, Tim, I will do a live hit with you on VEASAN, riding that damn mechanical bull at the library if I get that gig.
Right now, by the way,
I'm writing it down. I'm telling you, I'm in live on a bull. We're going to Fat Simmons from ESPN because my fat ass is going to get launched and you'll love it.
But what should we expect from this LSU team? They bring in Sam Leavitt. You know, it's funny. They're probably loving this Texas Tech stuff because right now they're not the big bad team in the college football. People are forgetting about Lane right now. And also his basketball coach seems to be helping him out too. But
imagine LSU right now, right? You got Mulkey, you got Wade, you got Lane.
The holy trinity of hated coaches.
What's it like at a coaches meeting at LSU right now? Are you kidding me? Look, man, they're paying right tackles $4 million to go to LSU. And I'm a boot boy, full disclaimer. I'm from Folsom, Louisiana. I've known, you know, Lane and I have a love-hate relationship, meaning sometimes he loves me and takes a phone call, and most of the time he doesn't. He doesn't even reply to a text message. He's got to win big. win and win big. I mean, at worst, CFP semi. Worst case scenario. That's a $40 million plus roster he's got. And they spent that almost the same amount the previous year, right? Those same boosters are kicking back in again. You got rid of Brian Kelly, who was Brian Kelly. Man, when I can't tell you how irate and also motivated that conglomerate of boosters, that the big money guys from LSU. And again, I'm from Folsom, Louisiana. If Lane doesn't get to, at worst, the college football playoff semi, it's a failure. Let that sink in.
That's a lot of pressure.
You know how hard that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a failure. There you go.
That's a lot of pressure, and he knew what he was signing up for,
his old squad was 18. I was there on the field, 18 seconds away from Ole Miss playing for the national championship, a place that he said it couldn't be done, and they were 18 seconds away. If he's not 18 seconds away at LSU, they'll barbecue his ass in crawfish boil.
Yeah, I remember going on with my buddy Jimmy Ott in Baton Rouge, and I said, look, Brian Kelly's a hell of a coach. He doesn't love recruiting, and that's not his thing. And
he didn't know half the players' names, bro.
Now he's an analyst at Memphis, so.
Yeah, let that sink in.
He's also sitting back on 50 large, which you and I would thoroughly enjoy. I'll be an analyst wherever you want me to be if I'm sitting back on 50 mil of buyout money.
I'll become your neighbor.
Come on. You'll be living in a different neighborhood. You'll be living next to Fernando Mendoza and Kirk Cousins. You won't be living next to me.
By the way, Raider fans, man, Mendoza, I've told you about the one phone call that changed everything when it comes to college football, the Heisman Trophy, the NFL draft. If Bill Musgrave, then the OC, now quarterback coach of the Jets, doesn't get a phone call from longtime NFL quarterback coach David Lee, who is from Miami and knew the Mendoza family, if David Lee doesn't call Musgrave and say, hey, you got to come look at this kid. Because nobody was offering Mendoza. The Miami Hurricanes didn't want him as a preferred walk-on. You know, Florida Atlantic, FIU didn't want him. And David Lee calls Musgrave. Look, for people who haven't heard the story, I'm not creative enough to make this up. David Lee calls Musgrave. Musgrave says, hey, just send me the film. It's like, you need to get on a plane. Well, it's illegal, but just send me the film. The next day, you know what Bill Musgrave was doing?
It's on a plane.
Going to watch. I just bumped into my best buddy, David Lee. Oh, you happen to be working out this kid named Fernando Mendoza. Oh, my gosh. Smart schools cheat too. Cal. And Bill Musgrave got on a plane, went and watched a private workout. And the next thing you know, he's offering Mendoza, who was going to Yale. And Mendoza told me, quote, end quote, I would have been an undrafted free agent, maybe a 6th, 7th round pick, with a degree from Yale. It's not for one phone call. David Lee to Bill Musgrave. Musgrave offers him on the spot. He says, wait, how much do I have to pay? No, son, you're going on a full scholarly. Mendoza goes to Cal, then to Indiana, then he's a Heisman Trophy winner. They win the Natty, and he was the number one overall pick because of one damn phone call from David Lee to Bill Musgrave. Can't make the shit up. Yeah, cursed. There you go. I love podcasts.
It's a podcast, baby. It's all good. All right. I already told you my love for Devin Dampier. I love Damon Williams. Give me the quarterback. Don't give me Trinidad Chambliss. Give me the quarterback that you love, Ian.
Dante Moore.
Okay.
I know it's a monster name.
Why?
It's not a Mendoza coming out of nowhere, but for him to come back when he would have been the number two overall pick, and the reason he came back is he said, he told me, man, when I was out there in fall camp before last year, I just asked him, we're walking up a tunnel, and I'm asking him a simple question. What is it about this place? Because it's just different. They hold you accountable. Every rep, you're held accountable. Everything, you are held accountable. And I just have to get better. And he realized, like the Bill Parcells quarterback commandments, right? Bill Parcells told me he would never, ever draft a quarterback that didn't have at least 28 to 30 starts in college. Well, where's Dante Moore? 15, 16? Eight, I think 18, including UCLA
too, right?
Including UCLA, 18. It's mm-hmm. like, I got to get better. Are you kidding me? You're going to be number two overall pick, and you're telling me you got to get better? Sign me up for that guy, right? Every time.
Quack, quack, Oregon Ducks for Mr. Fitzsimmons Ducks. Over there. Finally, Ian, you're the man. One.
You see that right there? Can you read that?
No, I can't. What do you got?
Or used by people with disabilities and the media. That I took and when I was doing the Poinsettia Bowl at old Qualcomm Stadium, rested soul, right?
Yeah.
In San Diego. That was a sign leading up to the press box. And every coach that I show it to is like, oh, God bless it. God bless it. There you go.
The Poinsettia Bowl is back, though, baby. Not at Qualcomm, but the Poinsettia Bowl is back. Rest in peace to the Gronk Bowl in L.A.
You know who the quarterback in that game I did? Josh Allen for Wyoming.
It was not raining. Too shy. Whatever happened to him? I mean, he high upside. He bust. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Failed. I don't know what happened to him.
He sucks.
Hey, Ian, you're the man. Look forward to hitting you up again, and we'll have you on the tailgate show before
we
know.
I'll be texting you in about 3 hours about where we're playing tonight, so you know that. That's coming.
Ian, wagering, appreciate you, brother.
Not gambling. We wager. We wager.
We're going under, by the way. We're going under tonight at Madison Square Garden.
See you, brother.
There he is, Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN. Fun stuff there. I know we kind of went all over the ballpark there with Ian. Big believer in the Oregon Ducks this year, as was Brad Powers. So Brad and Ian, believers in the Oregon Ducks this year. And when you look at the teams high atop the odds board in college football, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Indiana, Texas, Oregon, Georgia, feels like one of those six will win the title. But hey, you never know. We had a team like Indiana last year with 50-1 odds win the national championship. I think Miami, I thought Ian didn't feel like he was a big believer in Mensa. We'll see, but I think Miami is going to be a hell of a team this year. When you look at some of the rankings, we referenced it. Phil Steele has put out his magazine already. If you bought the upcharge to the VIP, and when you look at the ACC, the biggest question, I guess, is the offensive line for Miami. And that's a situation that with Mario Cristobal, you tend to feel comfortable with. All right, quick close here with a win total that I have placed. And the juice is a little expensive. You can do the alt number and, get a little plus money on it, which maybe I'll do. But, we always try to find the buy low, the sell high. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago. The juice moved in our favor when we had Duck from Action Network on regarding UConn. We are heavy on UConn under 6.5 wins. Put them in a couple of parlays as well on under 7.5 wins with a couple of other teams, which you can do over at DraftKings. And the juice moved here, I think, from like minus 130 up to minus 160. That's where it sits right now. But I'm in on Air Force this year. This is a team back-to-back losing seasons, which is kind of unheard of for Troy Calhoun. But win total sits at 6.5. And when I look at the schedule this year, I think it's really advantageous for the Falcons to have a big season. We know how challenging it is to go in altitude up to Air Force and get a win. Last year, defense was a bit of a nightmare for the Falcons. But, you know, you look at what they have coming back this year. They have their quarterback, Liam Zarka, returning this season. You know, the Mountain West certainly on paper got weaker with the, you know, loss of Boise State, with the loss of San Diego State, with the loss of Utah State. So this is a conference that, in theory, has become weaker, right? Looking at their schedule and what they return this year, week one, an FCS opponent in Duquesne will take care of business there. Week two, how about North Dakota State? You know, what do we expect from North Dakota State this year? I think they'll be one of the better teams in the Mountain West, but are they ready for the Mountain West? Are they ready to go to a place like Air Force week two and get a victory? I think that works in the favor of Air Force. You're getting one of the better teams in conference play to come to Colorado Springs. You also get UNLV to go to Colorado Springs. New Mexico's the final game of the season. Hopefully, the hay is already in the barn on this win total bet that we're not worrying about the finale at New Mexico. I do think New Mexico is the best team in the Mountain West this year. And then Hawaii's not on the schedule this year. They also have a game against UConn at home. Last year, they had to travel across the country and take on UConn. They lost that game. Now they get UConn back. They take on Nevada and Northern Illinois on the road this year in conference play. Two of the teams that I think are two of the weaker teams in the Mountain West. So when I look at how this shapes up this year for Air Force, you also have UTEP coming to Colorado Springs. San Jose State, I think, will be have a down season as well. You know, you get everyone and you avoid Hawaii, who is always a unique challenge. And you think about how the schedule played out last year. They played Hawaii at home, and that was a pretty stunning result because Hawaii got the win in that game. But they would have had to go to the island, and instead they're not playing them this year. So right now, 6.5 juiced over at -$1.60. We're going with the Air Force Falcons. Would have loved 5.5, and I'm not going to lay -320 or something like that on Air Force to go over 5.5 wins. But I think Air Force is a team that very well could vie for the Mountain West this year. And I think has a chance to really make some noise. And last thing I'll say about the Air Force Falcons and this win total, you know, I mentioned Phil Steele a couple times here on the podcast, and I always look at a couple things for him. You know, teams that are his surprise team, and also teams that he expects to improve. And he has Air Force coming into this year as his number two most improved team in college football. So over 6.5 wins on the Air Force Falcons, -$1.60 was what I laid over at DraftKings. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks to Ian Fitzsimmons for joining us. Thanks to Rick, our producer, stepping in for Wyatt. Ryan Hunter always helps out with this podcast as well. A reminder, cfbpod@vsin.com. If you want to hit us up on an email, you can always tweet me as well at @1TimMurray. We'll be back next week as we continue to get you ready for the college football season, less than 80 days away, boys and girls, from the start of college football.